Broadcasting worldwide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Oh, it's a great day today. We're going to have partly sunny skies, windward and mauka showers early this morning, and then scattered showers this afternoon. The winds are trades, and they're blowing to 15. They'll become variable in the afternoon, so please enjoy them. You're in the clubhouse, and joining us shortly is Ron Cyrak, the executive editor of Golf World and senior writer of Golf Digest, and he's been following Tiger Woods for a long time and, of course, following Michelle Wee, and we'll be talking with him. But first, we want to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Dr. Armand Chong Dentist, the director of the Hawaii TMJ Institute, dental director for 10 senior facilities, the official dentist of the 1990-95 Hula Bowl and Aloha Bowl. Dr. Armand Kainoa Chong, a great dentist, 737-3525. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And also, Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu.
We are proud to introduce our newest sponsor, Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, shopping center, store, custom home, townhouse, call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. We're also proud to introduce our first guest this morning, Ron Cyrak, executive editor of Golf World and the senior writer for Golf Digest. And he's joining us from the course. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me on again.
Where are you playing?
I'm playing at the Sequesta Golf Club on Cape Cod.
It sounds wonderful. There's so much going on. Let's take a listen to what Tiger Woods, in case you're looking for Tiger Woods today on television, you know, you've been working all week, haven't been able to catch up on what's going on in golf, but you did hear that he was coming back after 101 days. Yes, this is what he said about his physical condition after playing that first round.
Back's great. Yeah, I had no issues at all. No twinges, no nothing. I felt fantastic. That was one of the reasons why I let it go on those tee shots. I hit it pretty hard out there. The hard part was just getting to the rhythm of playing again competitively. You know, that's, you play with your buddies all day for cash and stuff, but it's just not the same. It's not the same as tournament golf. I hit some bad shots. You know, those are bad pitches, and, you know, those are the ones I should get up and down every time.
Yes, one should. He said he was going to be rusty when he came back, but somebody tweeted embalmed. Difficult to say the least. Ron, did you get a chance to watch him? Oh, we just lost Ron Cyrak. Okay, let's see if we can get him back. You know, Congressional Golf Course is a very difficult tract. He said of his game, after the second round when he did not make the cut. And it's the first time in 10 years, I should say, it's the first time in a long time, he did not make the cut. And it's only the 10th time that he hasn't made the cut in his career. Imagine that. He has only missed the cut 10 times in his entire career. That's amazing. So as we're sitting there watching, if you were able to, and we're critiquing and we're criticizing, and we're going, oh my God, he's so terrible. Watch, I've never seen him so awful. He's only missed the cut 10 times in his career. Ron, that's a pretty amazing number, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought one of the most incredible things that he ever had did in his career is he went about 7 years without missing any cuts, you know, and I heard the clip that you were playing from him. One of the hard things about Tiger is, you know, he plays it really close to the vest on things like injuries. And part of it is because he never really wants to look like he's making an excuse. But, you know, the bottom line is we really don't know how he's feeling, you know. And was there rust out there? There absolutely was. But, you know, I just hope that he didn't come back too soon.
That's a good point. And that's what we all, you know, but I was really amazed because he seemed vulnerable during his conversations with the media after his rounds. There was a look in his eye that almost said, you know, gee, I am not sure if I've got it. But then as you watched him play, it was like he was trying so hard, almost too hard. And then he was surprised at the results, surprised at how far the ball went, how well he could hit it. And then he overcooked it.
You know, every time I try to throw a word of caution out about Tiger, I get beat up by the hardcore Tiger fans out there. And I think sometimes they're doing him a disservice by assuming that he can just once again play the way he played in 2000 or 2004. You know, he's a 38-year-old guy who's had five major surgeries, four on his knee and one on his back. And, you know, he's not 24 years old anymore. And I'm still willing to say that Tiger's the best player in the world. I don't think anybody else has proven to me that they're better than him. But I don't think he's the player he once was. But the thing is, no 38, 39-year-old athlete is the same athlete that they were when they were 24.
But
time wins,
yeah,
always.
Exactly. But he's special. He's special because he is as good as he is. And all the naysayers who want to detract for whatever reason for what he's done in the past, or just because they just like to be naysayers, you can't take it away from him that he's accomplished amazing things. He's out of the starts that he's had, he's won how many percent? The percentage is amazing.
People... Yeah, he's about 25%. It's a remarkable number. And I think we would all like to see him have a year again like he did in 2000. But those are special years. Those are almost once in a generation years, maybe once in a lifetime years. And I'm not sure we're going to see that again. I would like to see him go back out and have another a dominant year and win two or three majors. But it's just, we're going to have to see how it all plays out. And like I said, I was surprised that he came back. I thought that he'd take the entire year off and get really healthy and come back and make one more serious run at Nicklaus's record 18 majors next year.
I saw your tweet when you said that, and I thought, you know, but he's got to get into the competitive arena, find out what it feels like to be in competition again, because, you know, even though your mind thinks it knows everything, your body's going, it's different. The adrenaline kicks in. And I think it's better that he comes in and works at it, and then next year is strong, but at least to get in there, if his body is good. Now, he's done this before. Of course, he shot 74, 75 at Quicken,
right.
Congressional. At Wells Fargo in 2010, he shot 74, 79. At the 2006 U.S. Open, he shot 76, 76. At the 1998 Tour Championship, he shot 75, 76. So it's not like this is something that's never happened to Tiger Woods before. And he's always come back, in particular last year, when he did so well, when he won five tournaments. I think once he gets the rust off, if you will, once he figures out the speed of the greens, how hard he should swing that driver, and I don't think he should ever use the driver, but he just loves it. His short game was surprisingly bad, considering he said he had been practicing the short swing, or short game.
Yeah, you know, I think the positive thing is that he has less swing issues that he had when he was struggling before. I think the swing is a lot better. He's a lot more comfortable with it. The short game is puzzlement. And really, the short game, particularly the putting, started to abandon him before the scandal. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, go back to 2009 when he lost to Y.E. Yang. Yang made the putts that day and made the chips that day that we were used to Tiger making.
We were shocked.
The putter has always been the great eraser for Tiger. And it, you know, he make a lot of 12-foot par putts to keep rounds going, and he doesn't do that anymore. I wonder if Tiger would be willing to swallow a bit of ego and reinvent himself and come back as more of a control player. And, you know, because he has a very violent golf swing. He goes at the ball so hard. And I don't know how much more of that his body can take.
Interesting. Well, in scrambling this past 2 days, 3 out of 16. Putts made 4 to 8 feet, 2 out of 7. Putts made over 10 feet, 3 out of 21. It just shows that his putting is really off. His short game looked awful. His chipping was bad. But at the same time, I could see him in a way. Of course, I don't know how he feels. I don't know what he's doing. But it just seemed like he was testing things rather than competing with confidence. He was testing, and I can understand why he'd want to do that. He says he's getting ready for the British. Can he get ready for the British without playing Greenbrier, which I guess he doesn't like much, or the Scottish Open?
Well, the Scottish Open would get him ready for the British better than Greenbrier would. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like he's going to do that, but you never know when he's going to change his mind. Look, what you said is exactly right. It's like a basketball player. A basketball player can run and run and run and run, but you don't get in game shape unless you play games. And I think it's the same thing with a golfer. You can hit balls and hit balls and hit balls, but you can get in the game shape until you have to take your game from the range to the golf course and play under pressure. Mm-hmm. And that clearly is what he needs. I mean, throughout Tiger's career, I've sort of thought that he needed to play more than he did. You know, I was always surprised that he doesn't seem to be the kind of guy that the better rhythm he's in, the better he plays. So I've always thought he should play more. I don't know what he's going to do next. You know, and that's part of the that's been part of the puzzlement of covering Tiger for 19 years. Is you really never know.
Can you tell me? He said that he grew the Bermuda in his backyard to try to prepare for Congressional's rough, but he said the rye was worse. What's the difference between those grasses? I'm not familiar with rye grass.
I think the ball was settling down more, you know, going down to roots more. But you know, again, that's one of those answers that when Tiger gives you, that you sort of scratch your head, you know. and because, you know, the bottom line is he didn't play well, you know. And it was unrealistic for anybody to think that the Tiger was going to come back off back surgery and 5 months off and contend in the tournament. He probably was more ragged, particularly around the greens, than we thought he was going to be. But I don't know what, you know, when he gives those kind of answers, you don't know whether he's just, throwing a smokescreen at you or he's really trying to give you an answer.
I understand. And I just wonder what answers would satisfy us.
Well, that's it. I mean, you think of the spot that he's in, you know, and you've got to try to explain why you just finished pretty close to dead last in the tournament. And I don't know what to say. I always come back to in 2000, when Tiger won the U.S. Open by 15 strokes and the British Open by 8 strokes. And Ernie Els finished second both times. And at the British after the tournament, and Ernie's getting the questions from the media. And finally, he just said, "Guys, what do you want me to say? I'm trying as hard as I can. The guy's just better than us." And, you know, and I think that that's the situation Tiger's in right now. It's like, you know, he almost wants to say, "Guys, what do you want me to say? I'm trying,"
exactly.
And it wasn't there.
Yes, that's what I saw in his eyes. That's and it was interesting because his eyes were different watching him.
You know, in 1997, at the peak of Tiger Mania, he had won the Masters, he had won the Byron Nelson, and he came in the Memorial, Jack Nicklaus's tournament. And people were already talking, greatest ever, and Jack is trying to say, you know, like, this discussion 20 years from now, you know. At one point, Jack said, "Let's wait and see how the animals are going." And we had to wait 13, 14 years. For Tiger, because he didn't have to struggle. One of the things that we're finding out is he can handle struggling really well. You know, it's something he's used to, and he's definitely entering a very, very different phase of his career now. 6 years, we're going on 7 years at a major. It's a different world for him.
Yeah, and I don't see him giving up because he's a grinder, and as you said, he just keeps going. You know, I know you're on the course. You are your playing partners waiting for you?
No, I had just chipped the 3 feet, gave myself the birdie putt on 18. So
yeah, a birdie, yes.
So I'm. Yeah.
Can you can we take a break and talk a little Michelle Wheat?
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, great. We'll be back right after this. We're talking with Ron Cyrek, executive editor, Golf World, and senior writer, Golf Digest. You can find him always at golfdigest.com. His writing is excellent. He did a great piece on Michelle Wee winning the U.S. Women's Open after 11 tries. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years. We depend on Creative Plumbing to maintain our plumbing, pipes, and fixtures. They just installed our commercial kitchen and finished two offices for the new tenants. Big business, condo, retail store, or home. You want your job on time, on budget, done right. Do what we do. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
Why wait? To be old enough or wise enough? Why wait to own the road ahead when you can do it now? Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique, you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to have the world within reach with the intuitive controls of the Acura ILX? Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters? Why wait to follow the rules when you can make up your own? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter-life crisis.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
And we're talking with Ron Cyrek, executive editor of Golf World and senior writer, Golf Digest. You can follow him at Ron Cyrek on Twitter, of course. Now, Michelle Wee won the U.S. Women's Open, went on a whirlwind tour of New York, and now she's playing, and she's tied for first with Soyeon Ryu. They're both 8-under through 14. Michelle is 3-under for the day. Soyeon Ryu is 4-under. This is pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing that she's playing a tournament after winning a major. Most players don't do that, but she made a commitment, and she's fulfilling the commitment, and here she's at the top of the leaderboard.
You know, she's really remarkable right now. She's hit bottom twice in her career, and I did an interview with her in San Francisco during the Swing Skirts tournament, and it's the first time I really had a long talk with her since she went to college, and she's a changed person. She's a 24-year-old woman now. She's not a 14-year-old kid trying to grow up in the spotlight. I think she's playing the most consistent golf of her career right now. And what really impressed me in the U.S. Open, she had the three-shot lead on 16 and made a bad decision in the fairway bunker. But a three-shot lead, instead of like laying up, taking her bogey and moving on, she tried to hit a hybrid out of the bunker and whapped it into a bush, had to take an unplayable lie penalty, knocked it on the green, and now she's facing a five-footer for double bogey. And if she misses it, the lead's down to one. And or the lead's gone, actually. She's tied. So, and the five-foot putt has been the putt that sort of haunted Michelle for her entire career. She made that putt. She hits a great iron shot into the par 3 17th, makes the birdie putt there, hits a stinger 3-wood into the fairway on 18, hits a wedge from 110 to about 15 feet, and then cautiously lags up her putt. So after making a real mess of 16, she then hits five incredibly good golf shots in a row. And that, to me, shows a ton of maturity.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people say, you know, here she's collapsing, you know, as expected. But she didn't. She came through. And I haven't seen the tentative collapse in months. I don't think we're going to see that for a long time.
There's only two holes in her game right now. And one's, I think, is going to always be there in her career, which is she's gotten much better as a lag putter, but she's not a great short putter. You know, she's still Mickelson-like that way. You know, and it's worked for Mickelson. It's certainly, you know, I would not say that Annika was a great putter. She was a good putter. Vijay Singh wasn't a great putter. He was a good putter. And all those players won a ton of majors. And then the other hole is the driver. She doesn't have a lot of confidence in it. A couple times when she went to it at Pinehurst, she got in trouble with it. And I've talked to David Ledbetter, her coach, about that. And they are working on it. Because when she goes at a 3-wood, as we saw in the back nine of the Kraft Nabisco against Lexi Thompson, she was giving away too many yards off the tee.
Mm-hmm.
And she has her distance back. She is one of the top five longest hitters on the LPGA when she can hit the driver. But those are the only two things that she really has to work on. But the word that's really important to her is what I see in her game. She just keeps saying, I want to be more consistent. And she's, I think, this year the most consistent golf I've ever seen her play.
She's amazing this year. It's wonderful to watch. It's wonderful watching the bounce in her step. You know, and the aggressiveness that she has. Not in a negative way. It's just this confident aggressiveness. What happened to Lexi Thompson? Here they were paired against each other, and Lexi had a really rough round.
Yeah, and she had a rough. She didn't handle it well either afterwards. She almost left the scoring area without signing her scorecard, which would have been a disqualification. And the one of the rules officials had to just literally grab her and say, "Got to sign your card, lady." She blew off the media, and, you know, I mean, she's young. She's showing her age. And she held up against Michelle in their showdown at the Kraft Nabisco. But this time, and Pinehurst, particularly the way this course played, it's the kind of golf course that can get into your head in a hurry. You know, you can score on it, but you get it going sideways, and it'll mess with your head. And I think that's what did with Lexi. It really got inside her head, and she couldn't handle.
Yeah, I think it was the course and Michelle's strength. I don't think she was prepared for Michelle growing by leaps and bounds since the Kraft.
Yeah, this Stinger 3-wood that Michelle's hitting off the tee right now worked very, very, very well at Pinehurst, and it's going to work very, very well at Royal Birkdale in the British Open. It goes about, flies about 7 feet off the ground and rolls forever, and she puts it in the fairway. It's her go-to shot when under pressure. If she needs to put a ball in the fairway, she hits this knockdown Stinger 3-wood, and it's a great, great weapon for her.
Excellent.
I think that got into Lexi's head, because Michelle could put it in play anytime.
Exactly. And Lexi's a long hitter, so she goes into it with confidence that she can go, she can dominate off the tee. And it just wasn't working for her overall game. Stacey Lewis, defending champion, talking about the women's British. Now here, two women, Stacey Lewis came up. You know, that's the thing about her. She'll just keep coming on and coming on. And all of a sudden, she's contending. And she was preparing for a possible playoff when Michelle was having her difficulties on 16, right? And she was on the range. She was keeping herself warm, limber, loose, and ready to go. And afterwards, she gives Michelle a hug, and they're the best of friends.
That's one of Michelle's best friends out there. And that's the thing that's different from Michelle. She had, at the very beginning, she was in LPGA events. And she set up LPGA events in 2002, and she didn't join the tour until 2009. And so a lot of players think that, like, it wasn't embracing them, so they didn't embrace her. But then when she joined the tour in 2009, and they got to know her in the solitude of the team room and the team living quarters, the Solheim Cup that year, they really got to love her, and she started to make friends. And now that she's living in Florida, she plays a lot of, David Better told me this, she plays a lot of recreational golf with her friends. And she's having more fun than she's ever had in her life right now. And she also, I think, has a greater appreciation for how she's making a living than she did the first time around, you know, or the second time around. She knows. She said to me at Skirtston or at Lake Merced, she said, you know, I think even when I'm having a bad day, I look around and say, how bad can it be? Look where I am. I'm on a golf course. And, you know, that's a great attitude.
It is. It is. Absolutely. Lucy Lee, what's next on her calendar?
It's going to be, first off, 78-78. I would have bet the house that she wasn't going to break 80 there. So it was really, that is really, really remarkable. I think what's going to be interesting is now we just got to hold our breath and hope that the people around her do the right thing going forward and don't try to do too much with her technical. I still think that it was a setback in Michelle's career that she played against men when she was 14 years old. I think it hurt her confidence. I think it hurt her swing. And, you know, I just hope that the Lucy Lee camp move ahead in moderation, have her play junior golf, have her play amateurs, and go out there and learn how to win golf tournaments.
Awesome. When's your next Annika Hour with Annika Sorenstam on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio?
It will be July 3rd, and it's at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, whatever that is for you guys. And then we play a lot. It's on, I want to say it's on Sirius 93, XM 208, or the other way around.
Okay. we'll find you.
It's the PGA Tour Network.
Yes, yes. And now you're going to the Women's British, you're going to the Open as well, right?
For the first time in the Women's British back-to-back this year, the women are going first. They're at Royal Birkdale, and the men are at Royal Liverpool, which is 17 miles away.
Awesome.
So that's pretty convenient. I love what they've done with the Women's British Open. When they decided to make it a major, Ty Vautas said, okay, it's two things you got to do with it. You got to get better venues and you got to get it on TV. And, it's on ESPN and the venues have been awesome. You know, they now go to Royal Live in St. Anne's, Birkdale, the old course at St. Andrews, pretty much all the places that the men go.
It's amazing. And then there's the International Crown. Are you going to make it for that event, the first
one? Yeah, I get back from the men's British on Tuesday, and I'll drive right from New York to the International Crown.
Amazing. Always great talking with you, Ron Cyrak, Executive Editor, Golf World, and Senior Writer, Golf Digest. Thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Aloha. We're going to talk some Fit America with Jim Baugh right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Do you suffer from migraines and headaches, stiff neck, or grind your teeth? Come see Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute. 20 years and state-of-the-art diagnostics with a caring staff gives you peace of mind. We're located at 3660 Wailea Avenue in Kaimuki, above Kahala. Call 737-2865 for your appointment. Validated parking. The first step to ending your chronic pain is Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
We have a new phone number for you to call with your questions or your comments or your suggestions. The number is 844-332-8500. Please call that number. It's 844-332-8500. With your questions, your comments, or your suggestions about your game or about the game or about what we're talking about, let us know maybe what the funniest or most memorable moment was that happened to you on the golf course. You could be the winner of a couple of sleeves of golf balls. The number is 844-332-8500. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I'm just sending out a tweet. How about a box of Bridgestone golf balls? All you got to do is call 808-296-5467. There we go. It's going out now. You can call 808-296-5467 and you will win Bridgestone golf balls. It's as easy as that. You know, it's awesome. Thank you, Bridgestone. Jim Baugh is the founder of Fit America. He's the CEO as well. He's in the Sporting Goods Industry Hall of Fame, and he's on the show with us right now. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Danielle. How you doing?
Excellent, sir. It's good to hear your voice. A lot of things going on. Fit America, I got to ask you a question. Before we transition to things that I think are very important for people with children, grandchildren, that they're concerned about, is golf enough of an exercise to get yourself fit?
Well, there's no question about it. There's like a conception or a feeling out there that golf you don't get a workout in. But even if you ride a cart for 4 hours or playing an 18-hole round, if you're in a cart, with all the movement you're doing from the cart to your shots around the golf course, you're burning 1,300 calories during that time frame. And if you happen to carry your bag or pull your bag, you're close to 2,000 calories. So you're basically walking a mile when you ride a bike. I'm sorry, ride a cart, and if you're carrying your bag, it's an even better workout. So, and by the way, we can't forget what the kind of mental exercise you go through when you're playing golf as well. So it helps not just your body, but your mind and your soul.
So in other words, that's why I'm exhausted when I finish.
Well, there's no question. You think about it, the concentration in golf is amazing, and then you got the physical part of it as well. So it's, we don't give enough credit to golf, how great a workout it really is, for a full body and as well as the mind.
It's awesome. Okay, what is Fit America?
Well, Fit America, unless you spell it for people so they understand it, it's P-H-I-T. It stands for Personal Health Investment Today. It's fitamerica.org is our website. But this is a cause that was started in January of 2013. We started off with 150 companies from the sports and fitness industry. As there's about 20 golf companies that are involved. We're all working together to overcome a huge issue in our country that very few people are talking about, which is the inactivity pandemic. Whether people realize it or not, more and more Americans are sitting and watching sports. Fewer and fewer are playing sports and being active. In fact, I just look at a World Cup here with Brazil, and I don't play soccer, but I watch it. And more Americans are getting into that mode. And we're about getting people active, fit, and healthy so we get a healthier overall country.
Yeah, we're supposed to want to go out and run around and play soccer. Like when we watched baseball when we were kids, we want to go play baseball, right?
That's... Yeah, exactly. Well, that's really the key is all these sports you see on TV, actually, most of them are not growing. We're not doing a great job of taking people with the idea and interest in the game and getting them and translating them into playing sports or being active. So it's really important to have retention programs in all our sports. And by the way, the golf industry is starting to do a great job there. We have a program called Get Golf Ready, which is a introductory program for new players. It's 5 sessions, approximately $99. It gets people over the hump. So more and more sports got to do it. Golf's got that going now, and golf's doing a lot of good things to grow its game and to get people active, fit, and healthy.
You know, so are you. And when I follow you on Twitter, P-H-I-T America, that's on Twitter, I find so many interesting articles about the importance of fitness and children's health, physical but also mental health. And this one really grabbed me because it makes so much sense. I tweeted out a picture of a young man who I sent out to go play outdoors every day of his life when he was growing up. Go outside, go play. I don't want to see you for the next few hours. Go play. Not because I didn't want him around me, because I knew that that's what he needed to do. Go outside and play. Become imaginative. Use your mind to create little worlds. I guess like I did, you know? Go find the fairies. Go conquer the world. Whatever it is that the kid wants to do, he should go out and do it. And here I look at this one article. Increasing physical activity decreases ADHD. Decreases in physical activity increases ADHD. I mean, it's almost like, duh, right?
Well, if you can look at the decline in activity of children. By the way, that inactivity pandemic is it's actually accelerating with our children. And there's a direct parallel between these kids that are being more and more inactive and taking drugs or having things like ADHD that you think about it. If kids got all this energy stored up, they're not releasing it. So that's why I think you have conditions like ADHD that are accelerating, and we tend to say, give them a pill instead of getting outside and getting active. Yep. And this gets back to our industry, and in fact, America overall needs to value the importance of sport and activity overall when it comes to ADHD or even the mental part of it. We have research now that shows these kids that get more active are better students because the blood is flowing to the brain. The brain is working better. So there's so much evidence now that physical activity is really the miracle drug. We just got to push it out there, and not so much to what you're seeing on TV with the World Cup, but just the average person. Just get out and walk. Get out and walk and play golf. Get out and play nine holes. It's so good for the body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah. I'm convinced when you sweat out stress. When you sweat and you exercise and your the blood's flowing, you get endorphins. Kids get the same thing. They come in and they're smiling. You know, they're just happy because they've been out there working out and they don't even know they're working out. Some kids need to be taught how to play. A lot of parents, we go out and we used to hike together, get sticks and just do things with the children. And then they kind of learn from their parents. How do you go about being outdoors? And the kind of sad thing is I can hear a lot of parents saying, I don't know where to send my child to go play outdoors anymore.
Well, and this is good, gets back to one of our basic principles is physical education in schools. And by the way, there's a study that's been done in Illinois in one of the good schools there. They took and put physical education early in the morning and tested it against kids that didn't have physical education early in the morning. And the kids that had early PE had better grades overall. Mm-hmm. It goes back to that getting the mind going, the body going, and everything else, and you learn better. But we need to get back and, yes, there's places in this country where the kids can't play. But you know what? Mom and dad can get out and play with their kids. They get out and walk with their kids and go back into your communities, because schools today have dropped physical education, and it is really the grassroots program to getting kids active and getting America active for life.
Yeah, when I was at a conference that President Bill Clinton was at Humana, it was one of the things that he brought up 3 years ago, and everyone was talking about that recess is being eliminated from schools, and that, I think that is just a tragedy because I know.
Well, but I'll give you the real numbers. There's 48% of all high schools in America today have no physical education. The average school budget for physical education throughout America is $764 per year for the entire school.
Wow.
That's the average. So you think about it, we're not, that goes back to the emphasis and the value we put on people and kids getting active. And it's so important, as you brought up with ADHD or all these different ailments that people are, and by the way, we're teaching lifelong fitness when we get kids active.
That's right.
And it's something that our country, mom and dad's really got to be. And here's another statistic for you. We have the first generation of kids that are not going to live as long as their parents because of the inactivity pandemic and other obesity-type diseases.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
If you think about that, that's scary. And mom and dads that are out there, or you got grandchildren that are not being active overall, my goodness, they're not going to live as long as you are. And the only way we're going to turn this around, and this is why we're so gung-ho about activity miracle drug, is because with our healthcare crisis, we have to prevent healthcare costs. This is the only way we're going to control healthcare costs is to prevent them. And what's the best way to do it is get people active.
Yeah, go play catch, go to the park with a frisbee, just go run around, just go, play hide and seek with the trees.
and you think about it as adults, because there's a lot of adults out there on blood medicine or pressure medicine. But if they get active, they get in better shape, they can get off of it.
Exactly.
So, there's little clues that's been out there, but overall, we got to be talking about exercise and fitness as the miracle drug.
Yeah, I was reading another on fitamerica.org is the website. Kids with autism benefit from physical activity, swimming, horseback riding, running, and Achilles International is working to get kids with autism running, and they've got a grant from Cigna Foundation to study how running helps children with autism, and one woman has a 16-year-old boy. Incredible difference, she says, in her son's behavior. He was aggressive, including self-injury and hitting, but since he's been running, there's been incredible improvement, she says, in his behavior. It's just really, and there's physical activity that's good for to treat PTSD, you know. There's so many reasons why we need to get up and get moving and really work on ourselves. But speaking of working on ourselves, I also found this little nugget: best activities for men. And, I just love it because a lot of guys wouldn't think of Pilates as one of the best activity, because it's a workout that gets to the muscles that weightlifting doesn't, right? The core muscles. Yeah. So, and then there's the Pilates, yoga is another one, guys. Yoga is very good for you. Spinning is excellent. And I love this one, Zumba.
Well, you know, the four largest growth activities in the last, I just studied this because we're going to come out with another article. Again, it's Fit America, PHITAmerica.org. These articles come out and people can sign up and get them. We put them out basically once a week, once every 2 weeks. But there's we're looking at the top four growth activities in the past year. And it's very simple. It's very interesting. Golf, by the way, is one of the stronger ones. It's something that everybody should be doing, especially listening to your show. But simple things like walking, running, riding a bike, and swimming. And they're low cost of entry. Anybody can do it. You talk about, can kids get, they can get out and ride a bike. Why not? You can get out and walk. You can go to find places to swim, especially in Hawaii.
Right.
So there's so many ways of getting people active. But you got to make it a priority. You got to get the kids off of watching the TV. You got to get everybody thinking about get off the computers and the social media they have. Let's get out and really talk about people moving and getting active.
Jim Baugh, founder of Fit America, that's PHIT America. He's in the Sporting Goods Industry Hall of Fame. You're amazing. Why did you start this after so long in the business world with Wilson Sporting Goods all the way up through, looking at your 35-year it's just amazing. Your career highlights and accomplishments.
I started this because the industry has been so good to me, and I didn't see any leadership that says, let's really change the behavior of Americans and the health of Americans. And I said, if our industry can get together like we're doing and talk to America in a unified way, we can start to make things change in a positive way. Because you think about, our industry is delivering all these great programs and products called sport and fitness overall. We just need to be great at pushing it, not just to the elite athlete, but to the average American. So this is why we started this. It starts with things you're getting, like these articles. We put them out all the time because the first thing I said is we got to educate Americans and put the value of what sport and fitness is all about, so we get people thinking. And then, by the way, on our website, there's a section called Participate, and you can click on any of the homepage images. It'll go to over 50 different sports. You can find the sport you want, put in a zip code, and find a way of getting active in those sports.
Awesome. Jim Baugh, founder of Fit America, PHITAmerica.org. Thanks for being on the show.
I love it, and anytime you need me, come back and ring me up.
I will do that. We're going to be talking with Jack Barrett. He's got First Tee. That's right, First Tee Florida, three different chapters. We're going to talk about what he's doing to get kids into golf. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years. We depend on Creative Plumbing to maintain our plumbing, pipes, and fixtures. They just installed our commercial kitchen and finished two offices for the new tenants. Big business, condo, retail store, or home. You want your job on time, on budget, done right. Do what we do. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with 3 separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available AcuraLink surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. Maybe it's called the beaten path, because it can be beaten. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
In the security business, trust is earned over time.
That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
We got a winner of our Bridgestone golf ball giveaway, Douglas from Hawaii Kai. Congratulations. You're going to get a box of Bridgestone golf balls. And you know what? We should do it again. Don't you think so? I think so. You should call 808-296-5467. Whether you're here in Hawaii or listening on the mainland, just call 808-296-5467. And I will send them to you, priority mail. We're going to check in now with no one. I've gotten so many responses on Twitter knowing that Jack Barnett is joining my show. Jack Barnett, Director of Development, Level 2 Coach, the first tee of Palm Beaches, the first tee Treasure Coast, the first tee of Broward. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Danielle. I'm honored to be on. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Now, do you include, you probably just heard Jim Baugh from Fit America. Do you include some form of running or cardio exercise when you're teaching your first tee kids?
Oh, absolutely. And first of all, let me just say that his passion is palpable right through the phone. So it was pretty good to hear him talk about that. But yeah, every single lesson plan has exercise, warm-up, stretching built into it. And we're using now, for about 6 months, we're now using yoga with the kids of all ages and all abilities.
That's fantastic. That's one of the things that men overlook as a great form of exercise. Yoga, Pilates, Zumba, Roomba.
Roomba, that's it.
There you know what they say about Zumba is that guys shouldn't worry about doing it because it doesn't matter if you mess up and you don't have to be like right on beat. It's not like you got to be into dancing or something. It's just you're moving constantly and the music is moving and you just, it's over in a flash and you're sweating.
Absolutely.
I love that about it.
And the activities that you were talking about in a previous call-in interview, the bottom line is the first tee was started in 1997 by the PGA Tour, by the LPGA Tour, with Augusta National and also USGA to combat childhood obesity with inner-city kids. So that's really where the first tee got its kickoff, in of all places, in Central Park in New York City. In February. Exactly. So I don't think a lot of folks thought it was going to really make a big hit with that kind of start, but it has. And now it's come to be a lot more than just introducing inner city kids to golf. It's we've got kids of all abilities, all ethnicities, all, basically all levels now partaking in the first tee in all of our chapters in South Florida.
That's exciting. And we have a chapter in Hawaii, and it's first tee here in Hawaii. You can always get in touch with the folks there, but just by going online, First Tee of Hawaii, and you'll find them online. And they've got the register to volunteer if you don't have kids, but you love, maybe you miss your grandkids. They're on the mainland. And you know, I akin being around children as having a battery pack next to you, and you just sort of tap into their energy, and all of a sudden you feel 20 years younger. I'm telling you, it's guaranteed to make you feel better. It's a lot of fun. Volunteer to be a part of the First Tee of Hawaii, or you can donate. If you are not able to be active, you can always, they always can use some money. Money must be one of the things that you guys really have to work at getting.
Yeah, it is. Every chapter, the First Tee on a national level, I think, has a perception image, if you will, of having this huge endowment of funding from the PGA Tour. And the reality is that there is some funding, but for 180 chapters, they are pretty much on their own once they start to do all their fundraising. And the average chapter budget out of 180 is around between $250,000 and $300,000 a year. And this year, we're probably going to be somewhere around $1.3
million. Wow. Let me just say that's the firsttheFirstTeeHawaii.org. The firsttheFirstTeeHawaii.org. And that's where you find the local chapter. And there are chapters across the country. How did you get involved in three?
Well, what happened was the First Tee Palm Beaches started in 2009 with the Honda Classic, who was their founding partner. And Ken Kennerly is the president of the Honda, is on our board. And we went from a minus $86,000 budget in our first year and have grown pretty rapidly, obviously, in the last 5 years. But what's happened is that the expansion has now grown into the Treasure Coast, Port St. Lucie area, Vero Beach area on the east coast of Florida, and then WGC Cadillac, Eddie Carboni and his folks from the PGA Tour at the Trump Doral in Miami approached us and asked us to take over the Broward chapter because they saw what we were doing in Palm Beach.
Wow.
So now we cover 120 miles of coastline now on the east coast of Florida.
How many people work with you? I mean, you can't possibly do this by yourself.
No, sometimes you feel like you are, but the reality is that we have, four main folks. Our executive director, Carl Mastretta, myself as director of development and lead coach. We have support people. We also have a director of operations in the chapter of Treasure Coast and also the chapter in Broward. Then we also employ 72 coaches, 65 which are PGA and LPGA teaching pros. So we have instruction with the kids. It's not just First Tee curriculum, but they're actually getting real golf instruction from our professionals.
Well, now that's it. Okay, that's exactly where I wanted to go. The philosophy and successes of the First Tee. You talked about the two aspects of it, not just the teaching of the golf, but the philosophy behind that you'd like to instill in the kids. Tell us about the different points that are important that you instill in the children.
Well, you know, it's really, we always say, you know, in our, everybody's got the 30-second elevator pitch, but in ours, it's pretty much golf is secondary. We're trying to build better kids, not better golfers. And if they become better golfers by being involved with the First Tee, that's only a bonus. But the reality is that you have 9 core values. There are now 9 healthy habits, which has just been put into our curriculum, developed by Annika, who is now a million-dollar trustee for the First Tee, with Annika and the Children's Florida Hospital here. And it's about eating and taking care of yourself physically, exercise, the right exercise, sun protection, dieting. I mean, it covers it all. So we try to give the kids the First Tee curriculum with the 9 core values, and now we've added the 9 healthy habits. And the philosophy is really about teaching the kids these values, if you will, without them really knowing you're getting it. It's called a seamless approach.
Yeah.
So we'll set up tee boxes. We have a 9-hole facility with practice areas and a full range, and we'll set up tee boxes for the kids to play after we do the golf instruction that day. And the tee boxes will be 2 oranges, if you will. And then the next tee box is 2 bananas. And then the next tee box is 2 granola bars. And then we'll put something in the cups themselves, little treats, if you will, maybe a baggie full of grapes or something to that effect, for the first one that gets it in the hole. So it's that kind of thing that we really try to teach the kids while we're on the course. And the bottom line is, I think you mentioned it earlier about being around young people, if you make it fun, they don't even realize they're doing it. It just becomes part of what we do.
Yeah, and it becomes part of them. What you're teaching them becomes a part of them. Yes.
Exactly. And the things that were, you know, believe it or not, the very first, I guess you could say, lesson that we introduced the kids to is meeting and greeting. Boys, we're real sticklers about having boys tucking their shirts in. We want to be aware of their dress code, how they present themselves. And we start them as young as 4 years old. And it's amazing what they can pick up at 4 years old and really continue to grow through that curriculum. And we have kids that have been with us now going on 6 years. And we had our first participant in our chapter who played in the Pebble Beach Open on the Champions Tour last year with John Cook, Janelle Johnson. She qualified out of 960 applicants. They only take the top 81. And she actually made the cut on Friday and finished 12th with John Cook at Pebble Beach Open.
Yay!
Absolutely. If John Cook could putt, we would have won. But so if John's listening to this, I'm sure I'll get a text or a tweet from him shortly after.
John Cook, if you could putt, they would have won. All right. Now, see, what I love is, you know, the tucking in the shirt and shaking the hand. Making eye contact, right? That's, you teach children how to introduce themselves. It seems like, well, you know, something that everyone takes for granted, but it's not. It's the presentation of a child to another person, and that instills confidence because then they see the reaction, right?
Very good, yes. And the confidence and the good sportsmanship, it also establishes integrity about who you are. And that's a core value. But if you go to your local golf course this afternoon after we're done with the interview, you watch foursomes when they start on the first hole. Very rarely will they introduce themselves to each other. And then also, you know, it's kind of just a formality. And the kids, we try to tell them that there's a big social aspect to golf that really starts on the literally on the first tee when you start playing golf.
And that's important to have that social interaction. You give a little bit of yourselves, and you get a little bit of. It's like in Hawaii we call it mana. You know, you're the spirit of yourself, and you
correct.
You give out that spirit, and you embrace someone with your hello, and that's important to do in life because that's what it is about networking. People reduce you reduce
there
it
you
to
go.
This world called networking. It sounds so. I don't know. It just sounds superficial, artificial. But it's important to take it one step further and actually give something of yourself.
Absolutely. And you know, believe it or not, in this day and age, it's the reality is that kids need to learn to be very social. I mean, social media is another aspect of it all, but that's obviously with an inanimate object. But the personal skills, interpersonal skills, are very, very important. You need to be strong in this day and age. You got to set yourself apart from other people. And we just had a young lady who went to the Humana Challenge back in January and spent the top 24 participants from the first tee on a national level went. And one of our participants, a young lady by the name of Emily Ballantyne, a high school senior, was chosen. And she spent the entire week with Gary Player, Kobe Bryant, Bill Clinton. And the things that they talked about were going to meetings, interpersonal skills, public speaking. They had to write a story about themselves and get up in front of the audience and speak to that. So these are the type of things that the first tee really enables our kids to have those opportunities that they wouldn't ordinarily have.
And if you'd like your children to get involved, it's thefirsttheehawaii.org. That's here in Hawaii, thefirsttheehawaii.org. You have a national, I'm sure, place where people can enter their zip code and find out where the closest first tee is to their home?
Yes, the national website is thefirsttee.org. And then if you just click at the top of the page, it says locations. It'll give you a map of Hawaii, the states, also four other international locations we have.
Excellent. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. We have 10 more minutes in our interview. about Jack Barnett, Director of Development Level 2 Coach, First Tee of Palm Beaches, First Tee Treasure Coast, First Tee Broward. And I thought for the people about to go out on the golf course, maybe we should talk a little bit about playing the game and teaching them, giving them some tips. And what would you tell somebody who's driving their car, trying to get to their tee time now? They're probably, just pushing it late. What's your suggestion?
Yeah. Well, the suggestion is, first of all, hopefully if they have time to get there and obviously get mentally prepared to go out and play. But, you know, again, keeping it light is really something we try to teach the kids. But also, too, be responsible in your approach to the game. And how you do that is you have to spend time. We really emphasize we do not let the kids hit driver on the range unless it's the absolute last club in their bag. We always have them work. We work from the green out. So we'll take the kids to the green first, practice green, wherever it may be, the range, and work from, let's say, 3 feet, 6 feet, and then 10 feet out on the putting green. Then we'll take them off the green, work on chipping and putting, put them in the sand trap, work on that a little bit, and then they might go to long irons on the range. And you can do all that in 15 or 20 minutes if you're methodical about it and make it part of your routine. If you talk to most people that are probably on their way to the course now or have played already today, I would say that probably 95% of them will admit that either their short game was horrible or their putting was horrible or both. And you know, that's really where the scoring and the enjoyment comes in with a game of golf.
So is that what Tiger Woods did wrong? He didn't, you know, practice his short game and his putting before he went out and played at Congressional?
Well, if you know what? That's a good point, because if you watched him on the Golf Channel this morning in his interview yesterday, he said that he was very happy with his tee shots, but that his wedges and his putting were horrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he admitted that. He said, you know, he obviously has some things he has to work on, and he wasn't getting the speed right, he wasn't getting the distances right. So, yeah, I hate to say it, but even Tiger suffers from that at times.
So, Tiger, go out and practice, you know, do warm up with all of your clubs. Forget the driver. I always thought Tiger should just forget the driver, period. He seems to do so much better when he doesn't use it. He doesn't end up in the trees as often.
Yeah, plus, you know, unlike us normal humans, he can hit that 3-wood probably about 275, 280 anyway.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so.
So, why test
him? I'm sorry. Well, yeah, exactly.
You know, I love watching him recover. He went into the trees at Congressional and he ended up with a birdie. It is still in him to recover from those completely errant shots. I love that word. It's an errant shot.
Yeah, I think we call it a lot more than that when we're actually playing, but we'll leave that one alone.
Exactly.
But I need to be careful about, you know, what I say about Tiger, because he also lives here in Jupiter. And we've had the opportunity to run into him several times. So I might hear something about that.
Okay, let me just ask you, okay?
Sure.
What we see on, you know, Golf Channel when Tiger meets the media, and you know, and lately he's not looked quite as standoffish. There was one time when he was talking about his event at Congressional, the Quicken Loans, when they just announced that they were going to be the title sponsor, he said, you know, to the reporters present, I really want to play golf. I miss it so much. I miss being on the golf course. I'd even like to play with you guys.
There you go.
And I don't like you that much. And everybody laughed. But it was so honest. And so we see sort of a standoffish, sort of a kind of a hostile relationship. What's he like when you just run into him?
Well, I mean, I can tell you of a couple of opportunities that came about, you know, simply by accident, because we live in the same area. One of them was at the end of the Honda at the end of 2012, about three holes in on Sunday. The rain came, they blew the horn, everybody had to clear the course, so we get to park in where the players, where the players park,
mm-hmm.
And as we're going to the car, I suddenly hear my wife go, Tiger, would you take your picture with me? And I turn around, and there he is with Joe LaCava, and Joe's putting his clubs in the trunk.
Yeah.
And he's like, sure. And I mean, he couldn't have been more pleasant. And then there's been opportunities where he's done that with our participants at events. We actually shot a commercial with him at a local driving range where kids from all three of our chapters were in the shoot with him. And he couldn't have been nicer and more cordial. So I think, you know, we don't realize sometimes just how much these guys are in demand and that their private lives are important to them.
Yeah, yeah. We get to leave someplace, go home, you know, without being interrupted, and then just fall down. And nobody
exactly.
Right? I mean, they don't get to do that. For them, a 24-hour period without being bombarded is almost an impossibility. So, and his kids are so important to him right now as they're growing
up. They are.
This is a really important time for him to be daddy. So he's torn between his game, which he used to play all the time, practice all the time, and being daddy at the same time. It's a tough one. It's a real tough one. Now, have you had a chance to see his swing?
Sure. At the Honda, the first year we run the kids clinic there with the PGA Tour,
mm-hmm.
and our participants, first two participants, are able to hang out on the range during all three practice rounds. So we're right there at front and center, and with Rory, with Tiger, you know, with Lee Westwood, who lives here locally, Oosthuizen lives here, Rory lives down the street now, so, you know, the kids get to see them quite a bit, which is really nice, and you know, you can get to see them up close and personal. And their swings are quite impressive when you're standing next to them.
Yeah, I bet. That one person kind of took it apart. Jason Birnbaum, a Golf Digest best young teacher. There was an article in Golf Digest about his Tiger Woods' current swing. His swing is obviously shorter. He used to have a full backswing just short of parallel with some softness in his left arm. Now he's short and extremely wide. Now, you know, to me, I have no idea what they're talking about because, but does that make sense to you? I'm sure it does.
Well, it does. You know, sometimes too much information can be crippling.
Yes.
Just for the average golfer. And I'm speaking about myself also. But, you know, it is noticeable because, you know, I mean, if you're in the industry, you can notice those things. But if you're not, no matter who it is, if you're watching Tiger hit on the range and you're the average golfer, no matter what swing he has, his swing speed, how far he hits it, the contact, I mean, the constant, you know, hitting it on the sweet spot is just amazing to watch time after time.
Yeah, exactly. My eyes can't catch all that stuff.
No, it's kind of tough to do, but you just know that when you watch that ball go, and it seems effortless for them, but that's, you know, that's what years and years and years of practice. But in Tiger's case, he's obviously had to change the swing because of his knee, and now because of his back. And, you know, the reality is that he's probably still one of the biggest hitters on tour. He may not be the biggest hitter, but, he, you know, if you saw some of his drives at Congressional the last couple of days, he was still banging it out there, 310, 320, 325.
Amazing. He was very happy with his ability to use a full swing, his back. He was, you know, talking about how he was, you know, when you have a bad back and then you test it like that, you just wonder, when's the pain going to kick in? I know it's
right
there, right? You know, and then when you, and it doesn't happen, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
But your body still waits for it and kind of like there's a tension. It's a reflex. You've been hurting. It's like when he recovered from his knee. He'd been favoring it so long, it was part of his swing. Now, the question is, how long has he been favoring his back, and did it become part of his swing? So does he have to unlearn that to become healthy again in his swing, not only in his back? All these questions.
Well,
yeah.
Great question, and I'll only end up with the Tiger comment with this, is that, you know, if you watch his interview yesterday afternoon, he said that he played most of 2013, where he had five wins, with a bad back and a bad leg. So it's scary how good he could possibly be if he's healthy.
Exactly. Before you go, let's listen to what he said about his round. This was after the first round. Not much changed after that second round.
Back's great. Yeah, I had no issues at all. No twinges, no nothing. I felt fantastic. That was one of the reasons why I let it go on those tee shots. I hit it pretty hard out there. The hard part was just getting into the rhythm of playing again competitively. You know, that's, you play with your buddies all day for cash and stuff, but it's just not the same. It's not the same as tournament golf. I hit some bad shots. You know, those are bad pitches, and you know, those are the ones I should get up and down every time.
Yeah, indeed. We should. Yes, indeed. We're standing by for John Hopkins to call in from Wales. The Senior Open will be played at Royal Portcull, his club. That's Watson and Couples and Montgomery and Langer. I'm watching Bernard Langer. He was like 11. I don't think anybody's been that far under par in this particular event. It's quite amazing, some of the things that they're actually doing in golf. And watching Michelle Wee has been phenomenal in her game. And as a golfer, have you looked at her putting stroke?
Oh, absolutely. And first of all, you know, again, Michelle lives here in Jupiter also, and she is the epitome of, if it works for you, it doesn't matter what anybody says, stick with it, believe in it, own it, and it will happen. And she's the perfect example of that. I mean, let's face it, not a lot of people were in agreement with her putting stroke. And she's made it work, and I thought it was fantastic how well she played and how well she putted at that event.
Yeah, she truly, I mean, that's the whole thing. When you look at Jack Nicklaus in an old clip, he's almost bent over like she is. He's just got a round back, you know.
Yes.
And who cares what you look like? If the ball goes in the hole and it's a comfortable stroke and it's not hurting you, more power to you. That's all I've got to say. Jack Barnett, it certainly has been a pleasure talking with you. Can we do this again?
Absolutely, Danielle. You're great with the social media. I appreciate the constant updates on what's happening with your show. But anytime you want me on, you certainly give me a shout and I'm yours.
I do tend to. I love to... what is the word? I love to herald the people who are going to be. I love to spotlight the people who are going to be on the show, because you guys, you, Jack, make the show what it is. Thanks for being on.
And thanks for all you do, Danielle. Have a great day.
You too. Aloha. We're going to be back, and John Hopkins has called in from Wales. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poi Poo Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poi Poo Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poi Poo Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poi Poo Bay. That's 742-8711. Poi Poo Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Do you suffer from migraines and headaches, stiff neck, or grind your teeth? Come see Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute. 20 years and state-of-the-art diagnostics with a caring staff gives you peace of mind. We're located at 3660 Wailai Avenue in Kaimuki, above Kahala. Call 737-2865 for your appointment. Validated parking. The first step to ending your chronic pain is Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute.
We have a new phone number for you to call with your questions or your comments or your suggestions. The number is 844-332-8500. Please call that number. It's 844-332-8500. With your questions, your comments, or your suggestions about your game or about the game or about what we're talking about, let us know maybe what the funniest or most memorable moment was that happened to you on the golf course. You could be the winner of a couple of sleeves of golf balls. The number is 844-332-8500. Looking forward to hearing from you.
It's the Golf Club.
Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
For more than 35 years, John Hopkins covered the biggest stories in golf, from major championships to Ryder Cups to amateur competitions, and he's continuing to do just that. John Hopkins is writer, or was writer for the Times, Global Golf Post, and his most recent work is Four, the Best of John Hopkins on Golf. Welcome to the show, Mr. Hopkins.
Hello, Danielle. How are you?
Good. May I call you John?
Of course.
Oh, good. I was going through your book, and I decided we should go to June, and boy, that was fortuitous. One night in June of 1990, while having dinner in Chicago with Nick Faldo, Mr. Hopkins writes, we noticed that there was a book entitled It's Possible on a shelf above his head. In those days, I had a relationship with Faldo that exceeded just the normal relationship between a golfer and a journalist. I love how you wrote that. Just. But then you go on to write in your book, you'll find Four, F-O-R-E, of course. You can look for it at Amazon. And you go through it, and by month, he has a collection of his best works from some 35 years of writing. And for each month, he writes sort of a setup. I went through and I thought, my goodness, I didn't know the Beatles, the Fab Four, and Michelle Wee had anything in common. So I'm reading along, Wee, ready to make a name for herself. the page turned. Wee, ready to make name for herself in City of Fab Four. This was back in June of 2004. Written in the Times. John, set us up for this article.
Well, we were in Liverpool, or rather, we were in Thornby, actually, which is not very far from Liverpool. We knew that Paul McCartney had written this song, Michelle. Michelle Wee, was then very, very young. Off the top of my head, I forget exactly how old she was, probably 15 or so. And she was playing in the Curtis Cup, the women's amateur event between amateurs of the United States and Great Britain and Ireland. And, you know, she was an object of great interest. So when she came in to be interviewed, we asked her about Liverpool and the Beatles and one thing and another, searching, really. You know how journalists do. You ask sometimes random questions, and sometimes they reveal very interesting answers. And she said, yes, she did know about the Beatles. Yes, she did know the song Michelle. And yes, she liked it. So that was enough for me to wax lyrical in the Times for probably two paragraphs out of a 10-paragraph story.
Now, is it true that she was named after the song?
Well, what I said in the book is what I believe. You know, I can't say any more than that. I mean, I think this is one of these things that probably doesn't bear close scrutiny. It's a nice story and probably better if you don't go too closely into it. If you forensically examine it, you might find that it's not as good a story as you'd like to believe.
I think it's called poetic license.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
But were you impressed by her presence then?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, she was then... I would have said 5'10", very long, willowy swing, a very assured person, accompanied everywhere by both her father and her mother. Her father generally tall enough to peer over the tops of the spectators around him. Her mother not quite so tall and having to peer in the gaps between spectators. Mm-hmm. She was an impressive figure, yes. I mean, she was a prodigy, and people like David Ledbetter, with whom she had worked and whom we all knew, said she was one of the most remarkable talents he had ever seen. So, yes, of course we had to pay attention to her. And I'm frankly slightly surprised that it has taken her such a long time to break through, and that when she won at Pinehurst the other day, the way she played at Thornby in 2004 didn't suggest to me that she would take until 2014 to break through and win a major championship, put it that way.
Yes, and there's this, the darndest thing that happens to people, they go through their teenage years. You know, if we could just cut those out, it'd be really good, because if you could go from being a kid and knowing everything, you have this clarity as a child.
Well, I think that's right, but I actually, in her case, I think it was slightly later, wasn't it? I mean, it was the time when she left her school and gone to Stanford, I think, is the time when she had some difficulties. And I'm not altogether surprised, because she was trying to do some fairly demanding university work at the same time as play professional golf. And it's pretty hard to do that.
Yes.
And I guess it's really only since she's finished at Stanford and been able to concentrate on her golf completely that she's blossomed in the way that she has.
Yeah, and what's beautiful about it is her first trip away without her parents was most recently, just a couple of weeks or months ago, that she actually went to a golf tournament and her parents were not in her company. They were watching on television. They were excited when she dropped a birdie and her dog Lola was running around. Just everybody was ecstatic. And she looked around to see where, just, you know, to acknowledge. And she realized she missed her parents. They weren't there.
Yeah,
it was a very, very nice story. We're talking with John Hopkins. He is the author of Four. And you need to get it because it gives you such insight into history. And here's a story about Michelle Wee in the midst of it that you chose to put into your book. I like also in May, and I was trying to figure out cherry tomatoes, fig Newtons, King's English, Europe, and you refer to it as the EV the entire time, the European visitor. What inspired this? This is very good.
I don't know exactly, other than I just sat down one day, and it's quite possible that Al Barker, my friend, and the well-known American author who was then editing the magazine, just said to me, write a piece about your experiences, and you've been coming to America now for some time, or to be honest, and I can't remember which, or I simply sat down thinking, I'd like to write a piece for the magazine. What am I going to write about? I know what I'll write about. I'll write about my experiences coming to America. I mean, they were sufficiently new to me then, although I had been coming to America for one reason or another for a good many years. I'm not sure that I had really been paying attention to golf as much as I had in the years immediately preceding this article. So it was all very fresh. And in those days, you know, I would fly over for the Players Championship in March, generally, and I would leave a almost always damp, probably cold, probably frostbitten Britain and touch down in Florida. And I remember this because this happened to me fairly early on, and it made a great impression on me. And one day when we'd finished our work, I sneaked away to a nearby driving range with Al Barker, actually. And I hit some balls, and the balls were white and gleaming like a picket fence. The grass was that wonderful green that you get when you have sunshine and rain. The putting green and the practice ground was magnificently maintained. And I thought, gosh, I've gone from hell to heaven, really, in the space of 5,000 miles in 2 days.
It's truly amazing, isn't it? I mean, yeah, I love it. And I loved reading that particular one because it gives you insight into the person, the European visitor, and what it's like coming to the States. You have the Senior Open after the Open at your home. Is it your club, Royal?
It is my club, yes. I can't actually say that I own the club, Daniel. I mean, I may be rich, but I'm not that rich, and I'm not that famous. But it is the club of which I'm a member, to be pedantically precise. And I'm very proud to be a member. I was skimming through the internet this morning, and I'm looking at the Golf Digest site, and I saw that Royal Porthcawl, my club, the one we're talking about, is ranked 44th in the world in the current Golf Digest rankings. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. We are very excited. It is the first major championship in golf, albeit a senior major championship, to have been held in Wales. We hope that we will bring it off well enough for the RNA to look favorably upon us when we ask to stage the Open in about 10 years' time.
Wow.
But that's some way away. First, we've got to get the Senior Open out of the way and not make a mess of it.
Not make a mess of it. Well, it seems like everyone there is awfully proud to have the Royal Porthcawl host this Senior Open with Tom Watson and Freddie Couples and Colin Montgomery and Bernard Langer. Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, it should be. With any luck, it will bring quite a considerable boost to the economy of Southeast Wales. The television pictures will go around the world, and if we have nice weather from the camera 100 feet up on a cherry picker, it will show wonderful jaw-dropping scenery in almost any direction if the sun is shining. It's free of advertising for South Wales and great promotion for the club. And I'm quite sure that a lot of people will look at the club and say, I've never heard of this place, Royal Porthcawl, or I must go there. Let's try and arrange a buddy's trip there next year. Let's go to Wales. Let's not go to Ireland. Let's not go to Scotland. We've been there before. Let's not even go to England, other than perhaps landing at Heathrow. Let's get to Heathrow, jump in a car, and go straight to South Wales, where there are other lovely courses as well. But the best, unquestionably, is Porthcawl.
Can I become a member of your club all of a sudden?
You can, indeed. We'd love to have you.
Really?
I'd love to have you.
Oh, I thought women were like, you know, your club accepts women.
Well, of course.
Well,
of course.
Oh, well, you know, the RNA, you know, they have this. Some clubs don't allow women.
No, that's true. That is true. But the RNA, I can enlighten you a little bit on this, Danielle, because the RNA are going to vote in September upon whether or not to admit women. And I'm prepared to announce now that the result will be a thundering vote of approval for the admission of women. And the reason I say that is almost certainly the RNA members, of whom I am one, are going to decide in the next month or so that postal votes are eligible. At the moment, the rules of the club are such that on any major decision such as this, it has to be taken by people who stand in the big room or in the room where the meeting is taking place. And furthermore, that there has to be a majority of 75% of them. People have pointed out that on such a momentous issue as this, we probably ought to be able to include the votes of every member. And of course, many, many members from overseas won't be able to make it to the meeting. So we're probably going to tinker with the rules slightly in the next month, so that when the meeting, when at the what we call the autumn meeting in September, we decide to vote on whether or not to admit women, it can be done, including postal votes. So, for example, Billy Payne, the esteemed chairman of Augusta National, who said at Augusta during the Masters, well, I hope the RNA will admit women, and you know where my vote is going to go. And I very nearly put my hand up and said, Billy, you do realize you've got to be in the room, but it was probably a good move that I didn't. But he and a good many other people around the world have said, we hope that the RNA will vote the right way. And Tim Fincham said to me, when I had an interview with him during the Players, he said he would even consider flying over to vote.
Wow.
That was how important it was.
You have just made my day. As always, John Hopkins, it is a pleasure having you on. I never have enough time because you're just wonderful. Thank you for being on the show. John Hopkins is author of 4, The Best of John Hopkins. Pick it up. You can download it onto your tablet and just enjoy the rich gems that he has in 4, The Best of John Hopkins. Thanks for being on the show. Let's do it again.
That's a pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the people who make this show possible, because without them, we wouldn't be on the air. We're proud to introduce our newest sponsor, Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones, you know, they put it together for golfers of all abilities, a unique and unforgettable golf experience. That's Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And I just want to thank to all the people at the Memorial Golf Tournament for Seve Boutte. My thoughts and love are with you all. Acura of Honolulu, military appreciation never ends at Acura. Get an additional $750 off the special pricing. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount. They're at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. And Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. You go, you get your property threat assessed. Then they'll put the protection in for your home or your business where your weak points are. That's right, Star Protection. They do it all. Get the Star Protection team on your property. And Dr. Armand Chong, he's a great dentist. You need to give him a call, 737-3525. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2014.